Hello and welcome to Tales from the Pit, the behind the lens access to the entertainment world and the creative people involved. Today is our special guest, Lindsay Martin. Lindsay, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. I've had the pleasure of photographing you at the Hailstorm show earlier this year, and that was an excellent show. You are the drummer. You are the drummer for Lilith Caesar, right?
Lilith Czar. Kind of a
Lilith
Czar.
Sorry.
Lilith Czar. No, you're fine. It's all good. It's a tongue twister.
Yeah. Right. And that was the first time I had ever seen you guys, and you guys were like on fire. That was a really, really killer show. It was you guys, Evanescence and Hailstorm. Killer show. But we'll talk about more of that later on. But we usually like to start off with sort of a brief history of your journey so far. So what was your influences growing up? How'd you get into the industry? What was your path so far?
Groovy. All right. So I grew up on a farm in upstate New York, and I started out with piano and, you know, got sick of it. I didn't want to do it anymore. So I was trying to figure out what the hell I wanted to play and stuff. And then my dad introduced me to Led Zeppelin. That literally changed my life. It was Houses of the Holy album. And I just remember hearing the drums. I'm like, that is what I want to do. And I never looked back. So I started out school lessons. And then, you know, once my parents believed me that I really wanted to play, Santa brought me a drum set, and that was it. I was hooked immediately. So throughout middle school and high school, I was all sorts of bands, jazz, symphonic, marching band, all that stuff, rock bands, you name it, I did it. And I just knew, I think freshman year of high school, I'm just going to play drums. I don't have a plan B. I don't necessarily believe in plan Bs, but I'm going to play F and drums. And that was that. So I always wanted to live in LA, and I knew my ticket out here was going to USC, which was the college of my dreams. And miraculously I got in. Not sure how, but I did it. I went to school for a year for music, and I'm like, you know what? This isn't my thing. I was pretty much failing at that point. And I'm like, you know what? Why am I in school? Like, I don't want to be studying philosophy if I can be out in LA meeting and connecting and networking with people. And that's literally what I did. And been there for about 10 years, and it seems as if they're really starting to pay off. So
nice. Yeah. So you moved to LA, and I know you've been working with a bunch of different stuff. I've seen that you've had a bunch of several bands. What was the progression of the band from when you moved to LA? What was your progression there?
Oh gosh. So I quickly fell in the whole Hollywood rock scene. That was, you know, Motley Crue is probably my favorite band on the planet. So I idolized that whole Hollywood hair metal thing. So I instantly fell into that. So I was in a glam band when I first got in. Then after that, I jumped into like top 40, like cover band stuff, country bands, original rock bands. I just, everyone and everywhere, if I could play, take the gig, I would just do it.
Yeah.
I was so eager and desperate just to meet people and connect and play. That's all I wanted to do, you know, since I was little. I wanted to play in Hollywood and I did it. But, you know, at that point I wanted to grow outside of Hollywood, and then just kind of, evolved from there.
Yeah.
So
nice. So Motley Crue, obviously Tommy Lee is like one of the best.
Oh yeah.
Just all around. I mean, his theatrics is one thing that's just amazing, but you actually listen to his performances on, you know, Dr. Feelgood and all those albums. It's just insane.
It was, I was obsessed. I mean, he's still my favorite. I still diehard Motley fan.
Yep.
You know? So. Yep.
Absolutely. But, yeah. I mean, I grew up with that stuff too. Definitely love those bands. Fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They're really fun.
What was your introduction into the Lilith Czar band? Sorry that I can't speak today.
No, I know. It's hard to say. I had to say it like a zillion times to get it. So I remember we were upcoming, a couple of years ago now, going into summer, and I was just looking for a gig, and just reaching out to a couple of my buddies. And he's like, hey, you know, I have an artist I know that needs a drummer, and she's putting a band together. I'm like, all right, cool, go for it. And, I remember listening to her music. I'm like, oh shit, like she's got vocals, you know what I mean? She can sing. And, so I went for it, and, no disrespect to the men. I was the only girl drummer there. I'm like, you know what? Fuck these dudes. This is my gig. No one's taking this gig from me. I think she's badass. I want to be your fucking drummer. So I had that mentality and I just learned the parts so I could play it in my sleep and inside and out and backwards. And, you know, I think we went through two rounds and then I think after the second round, I got up and I walked directly to her, you know, pretty close. I'm like, hey, I know you don't know me yet, but I want this fucking gig more than anyone else here. And later on, she told me that was the main reason because I had the balls to just say it right to her face, you know, aside from my playing and whatever. And that was that. I got the gig. I got the call probably an hour later. So
that is awesome. Yeah. I mean, you have to. Well, I mean, you're in a room full of people doing the same thing you are, and you have to show your passion. You have to show your ability and you're ready to take this, you know, and stuff like that. So it really, that makes a huge difference. And obviously it made it really a huge difference.
Yeah. It definitely did. And I just, I try to carry that mentality with me everywhere. You know, there's 1,000 other drummers that want the same gig as me. So I'm going to outwork all of them and I'm going to play my heart out. And obviously drumming is my favorite thing ever. So I think it comes out when I play, I think it's, you can see it, but I'm like, I'm going to outwork all these fuckers and I'm going to just do my best and make sure that I give 110%, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, it definitely shows, you know, when I obviously shot those photos of you, you're smiling from grinning from ear to ear and you're playing it out. I mean, I was like, I haven't seen a drummer this, you know, enjoying the moment and also kicking ass at the same time. I mean, you see so many drummers that are like, you know, they're spinning the sticks and they're looking cool and stuff like that, but they don't really look like they're enjoying it a lot of the times. You look like you were having a blast up there.
I mean, I just love it so much, as cheesy as it is. And what's funny is like, I'm not a very smiley person. I'm pretty serious. I'm not angry or depressed. I'm a pretty just serious, like chill person, right?
Yep.
But my friends and my family, they're all just like, we never see you smile so damn much. It's the truth. Like, I don't really smile that much, except when I'm playing drums. It's like a completely different person.
Yep.
I mean,
you look at a lot of artists that, I mean, you look at someone like Eddie Van Halen, for example. Every shot of Eddie Van Halen is him just grinning ear to ear doing what he loves. Yeah. And it just shows. Yeah. I mean, the performance really sounds. Does. I mean, I don't even have to look at you. Even if I couldn't see you, I can hear it in your performance. It's just awesome.
Well, thank you. No, that means a lot. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So you get the gig. What happens next? I mean, are you guys like, is the album already recorded or are you going into record or what's the next progression path of that?
So she was pretty much reemerging as an artist. So we immediately got booked to do this summer tour. So we were her new band, essentially. So we got booked. We did this whole tour with her. We shot a music video with her. You know, there was a tour, I believe, that was supposed to happen, didn't happen, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And it just wiped all those plans out. And then now she rebranded over COVID as a Lilith Star. And, you know, we're still her band. And the Evanescence one was the first one we got out of COVID, which is just fucking awesome. It's like, holy crap. Like, okay, cool. COVID obviously was rough. And then coming back to doing arena tours with those two bands was just like a dream come true. And then, you know, here we are with the Trinity of Terror and now the Hailstorm one in the summer. It's just like, holy crap. So
you guys are going to be busy.
It's going to be fun.
You have a couple of big festival shows coming, right?
Louder Than Life and Aftershock.
Yeah. Killer.
So cool. Stoked for those. Oh my God. Yeah.
That's gonna be amazing. You get that first. So was the album already done by the time you were there?
And you so from what I can remember, it was all stuff she had previously done in the past.
Okay.
She was coming back as an artist. We were playing her older material, and then COVID, everything hit, and we're essentially hired guns.
Yep.
So she had a lot of the newer record we're playing now, pretty much almost done. Which is cool. I don't know what she did for the recording process. But the new album that we're currently playing is pretty much was done. So when we came back, we had like a new record, to promote for, you know?
Right. Yep.
So
and that's pretty, I mean, that happens quite a lot with a new singer or a new front person of a band a lot of the times has the album already pre-drafted, and then they just need the musicians to come in and start building up. There's so many bands in the history that's started that way. It's very common. So for you, that means that you already know, you know, starting the band, you already know what you need to learn and what you need to perform. Does playing live, are you allowed to put your influence into that? Or are you pretty much sticking to what's on the record?
So my whole thing, I need you to do this gig, whatever, I'm going to learn it part for part. That's just my thing. You know, I want to learn the exact note that's on the record. In rehearsals, that's what I'm going to do, right? So when she was saying to me, or her producer and music director is like, hey, Linz, you can put your own spin on it. Once I get the okay with that, I'm like, all right, obviously I'll stick with the record as much as I can, but right, I want to throw my Lindsay spin on it.
Yeah.
If they like it, cool. If not, all right, that's fine. You know what I mean? And I try to do a mix of both when we're out now. You know, yes, sticking to the record, of course, but I want to also put my own spin on it, because I also feel like when you put your own spin on something, it's like a, what's the word I'm looking? It has a different feel. You know what I mean? I think it sounds more of like a human and just not so much.
It's very live.
Record-esque. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah. So as long as she's cool with it, then I'm cool with it. You know?
Yeah. So. When you you guys out of the gate are in this huge, huge tour with Hailstorm and Evanescence. That's a monster tour right there with two excellent, well-established female fronted bands. So you guys fit perfectly right into that slot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. We were shitting bricks, like, you know, coming back from COVID to jump in on a tour like this with those two bands that, which we all loved. It's like, holy shit, guys. Like, all right, we got this. You know what I mean? So we rehearsed like hours, just relentlessly. There's no better way coming back from COVID doing a tour like that. I was pinching myself every day. I'm like, shit, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's unreal. So
yeah. We just had Joe on from Hailstorm about a month ago, whatever it was. And, you know, Joe and I were talking about how much of a live band they are. I mean, they are a true live, raw, you know, whatever happens, happens. I mean, that was actually the day for them. That was the day I saw you guys was the day their bus caught on fire, too. So that was pretty crazy.
Oh, my God. That was
crazy.
Was insane.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah. That was gnarly.
Yeah.
Sorry, the boy. Go away. Shoot. Sorry, the boys are here.
The worst.
Yeah, that was gnarly. Yeah. But no, those guys were great to tour with. Shoot. Sorry.
If they want to jump on the show, they can.
I don't know what they're doing. They left. I'm so sorry.
No, that's not a problem at all. No,
I love them, but yeah.
So Hailstorm, you guys are opening for a major live band. So that's going to be so nerve-wracking. As you said, you got to practice like crazy to make sure you're on your A game. How does your set change over the duration of that tour? Are you guys doing pretty much a standard set every night, or are you guys kind of playing around a little bit?
Something like that. I mean, we honestly haven't even discussed it yet, but my guess would be obviously rehearsals will come up with the straight set and just run it to the ground. You know what I mean? So we can play in our sleep. Stuff like that. It just makes things a lot easier and smoother. And plus with like programming, like lights and all this other fun stuff, it just every night, same thing. It just, you know, makes it way easier.
Yep. So. Definitely. We get so much stress riding on your shoulders. For this show.
Oh yeah. But
Do you have any like favorite moments so far from any live events? Is there anything that stands out to you as like, man, that was a dream come true moment or anything like that?
I remember the first show with Evanescence, stepping into that arena, I about cried. I've never played in an arena in my life. I've been playing drums, 20 years? That was a very surreal experience for me. It brought me back to, you know, the days of just being homeless, no gig, no money, broke, living in my studio, all that crap, playing to two people at a bar. And it's like yesterday. I don't want to start crying now, but the moment I stepped in that arena, I just, holy fuck, like, it's happening. My dream is literally happening. Playing in, that's all I want is, like, I want to be able to play in a fucking arena, and it's happening right after COVID of all things, you know, to come back that, like that.
You know, being a musician, I can't imagine, well, I mean, I can try to imagine what it's like to feel your drums going through the PA in an, you know, in an arena. To feel, I mean, because I could feel your kick drum while I was there. I mean, I can't imagine what that's like for you up on the stage and stuff like that.
One of the greatest feelings, I think, ever. Just you feel it in your heart and just everything. And it's just, drums are the best instrument, let's be real, right? So just, and then hearing it, like, sound check, like, the first kick, I was pretty much crying. Like, holy shit. It's just, you feel it, and I'm like, this place is, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just the ultimate dream come true, and just so,
it's crazy.
It's just so unreal, surreal,
What was that first gig? Do you remember where it was?
Oh, God.
If you don't, no big deal.
Oh, God. I think it was somewhere down south. It might, was it Bridgestone? Somewhere down south. I know. Okay, I don't know if it was Bridgestone Arena, but one of those down there.
And wasn't that the tour where it got canceled halfway through? Were you guys on that part of the tour, or did you guys start after that?
We started, no, we were part of that because Evanescence got COVID.
Yep.
So now, oh my God, that was nuts. So we were all bummed, and, you know, I was crying. I'm like, why COVID? And then we came back, made those dates up, and it was great. But it's like, you know, like, I mean, things happen, and I'm glad everyone's okay and stuff. But yeah, that was a bummer.
And I think I just read that now that one of the bands you're out with right now has, like, someone in their camp has COVID or something like that. So are you guys having to, like, extend your set to fill in stuff like that, or are you just still doing the same?
No, we're actually, I mean, we rehearsed because she has a couple of her own, like, smaller shows. Like, on one of our days off coming up, I think we're like a smaller club.
Yep.
Yeah. So we pretty much have, God, I don't even know how many songs we have in our repertoire, but we are able to do a couple more if we need to.
Nice.
So now we're able to do an extra song or two, I think. I mean, I love it. And I mean, the longer we can play shit, I'm happy. But, you know, we're the opener, and I get that, and got to respect times and stuff. So
Sure. And unfortunately, COVID's just playing havoc on everyone. I just read, you know, Mammoth Wolfgang Van Halen's band, they just got COVID in their camp today, too. So it's going around, and it's, you know, everyone's having to reschedule and pause and all that sort of crazy stuff. Let's talk about your equipment, your setup. So what are you playing? What's your preference in your drums? What's your, you know, because I know you have a lot of endorsements and stuff. What's your preference there? What's your setup?
I like to keep it pretty simple. I use Sabian cymbals, the AAX and HHX series. You know, a couple crashes, ride, China. Yep. I keep it simple. I use Pork Pie Drums. It's a smaller company out of California. I've been friends with the owner, oh God, eight years now. He had my back pretty much since I've moved out here, and I've been with him since, and I absolutely love them. They're my babies, you know, my pride and joy. I've been with Remo for a couple of years now. Use Remo, the coated amps, just straightforward to the point, and Vader Drumsticks, best stick company around. Nice. Yeah.
You got a killer drum sound. I mean, at least for the show I was.
I appreciate it.
They sounded great. Thank you. I mean, when you feel that kick, that's what it's all about. Is feeling that kick.
It really is. That kick is everything. I want everyone to feel it. Like, from where I'm at to the nosebleed section, I want you to feel it.
Yep.
If I can connect with that person way over there, then that's everything.
Yep. Absolutely. What can you break down what a day on the road is like for you? Yeah, I know today's a day off, but on normal show day, what is your routine for the day?
Okay. All right, this one, for example. So tonight, we're in Madison, Wisconsin tonight. We leave here at 3 a.m. We show up to Grand Rapids, Michigan. I don't know, is that noon? I don't even know how long it takes, honestly. So we'll get there probably, let's say, between noon and 1, whenever. And then we kind of just... At that point, we've been stuck in the bus. I like to go out and kind of just look at the venue, explore, say hi to people. And then I'll look for the production manager for the whole tour. And you're like, hey, you know, when can our camp load in. So we usually load in, let's say around 2:30, 2:45-ish. Set up all of our stuff, you know, easy peasy. By 3:45, we're usually on stage. Quick sound check to like 4:15, 4:30. Then they have a VIP meet and greet they do. And then 6:30 showtime. Everything's pretty much packed in a way by 7:30, 7:45-ish. And then from, let's say, 8 to 2 in the morning, we have free rein.
Nice.
So go get a drink, go eat, hang out, shower, whatever the hell you want to do. As long as you're back for that bus call, it's, yeah,
yep.
Free for all.
Yeah, and yeah, like I said at the beginning, the once you guys get to our venue, there's so much fun stuff to do at our venue. I don't know. I think I saw that there may have been a day off before or after. I don't remember. So I don't know if you're going to spend an extended time at our venue, but there's tons of, and we're right on the water. So there's a nice lake.
Portland?
So I'm talking about the Bank of New Hampshire with, you'll do this later in the summer. Yeah, yeah. So we have.
So awesome.
Yeah, we have a nice catering, lobster catering back there. There's a full-size pool back there. There's a miniature golf thing. This is all for the artist out back. There's all kinds of fun, crazy stuff. Yeah. So you might want to, if you have free time, you might want to plan a little sightseeing around there because it's like a really beautiful area.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to now. That sounds freaking epic. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's going
to
be really so cool. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Definitely.
When it comes to being on the road, I mean, this is sort of new in your, I guess it's sort of new for you in regards to this sort of type of tour. When it comes to being on the road, how does that impact for like your home life and your families and relationships and stuff like that? How does being on the road impact that those sorts of things?
I have the most supportive, I think, family and friends, and my girlfriend too, like the most supportive ever. I'm very, very grateful for that because there's no way in hell I could do it without their support. No way. I mean, it's hard. I'm not going to lie. We're gone, what, 7-8 weeks? No friends, no family. I don't see my girlfriend, you know, my home life. You know, it's hard. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie to you. But everyone is just so freaking supportive. And just go live your dream. You're not missing anything. It's going to be the same just as soon as you come back. So it definitely, I'm getting more used to it and I'm okay with it. Obviously, thank God for FaceTime and everything. Right. So I feel like I'm still there, but other than that, I'm like, you know what? Yeah. So I'm definitely used to it and it's cool. And days go by pretty quick. So I'm like, oh my God, we're almost like 3 weeks into this thing, you know? So, but now everyone's really supportive and super cool with it. And, yeah,
there's
like go, like fucking just go.
That's awesome. That's nice to have the support. I noticed from, you know, when I used to travel quite a bit in the past, there's definitely a difference between the life on the road where you're always out, you're always eating out, you're always doing something out. When you get home, sometimes you just emotionally want to just be in and your partner's like, yeah. I've been in, I want to go out. So sometimes it's like that conflict.
Oh, emotional. No, totally. It's like I usually the first week, I want to say, I kind of just want a hermit.
Yep.
So like I'm home. I want to be in my bed. I want to eat homemade food. I just want to be home. I want a hermit. Yep. But then I reach a point I'm like, you know what? I want to go out. You know what I mean? I want to go to the bars down the road. I want to hang out with my buddies and all that. But I'm like, at least the first week, I'm like, isolate and just do my thing, you know?
Yeah, but, totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry. When it comes to this tour you're currently on, how different was it? Is this tour from your previous tour from with Hailstorm and Evanescence? Is it the same idea or is it pretty different?
I would say this one is less like COVID strict. It's not as, you know, the last one we were getting tests every day. Pretty much 24/7. We couldn't really do anything, like couldn't go anywhere, nothing. And then now this tour, it's a lot more lax. Obviously, wear masks, you know, it's more, if you want to wear them, cool. If not, be careful of what you're doing. It seems a little more lax rules wise. And again, both people, the Evanescence Hailstorm people and the bands everyone's great. So I would say overall, the biggest differences are the COVID rules were more, tight with the other tour. This one's more lax, smaller venues, but other than that, I mean, pretty similar in how day-to-day operations work.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure I'm going to guess part of that is due to the timing, because when you were on the previous tours, we were right in that big, big, huge peak of COVID. So
yeah,
I'm sure that's a real big factor.
Yeah, totally.
When it comes, I'm going to ask you some photo questions, being the photographer. When it comes to you being on stage and having your photos taken, and then I'm assuming maybe the next morning you wake up and or whatever you wake, you go on Instagram and you have all these tag photos and stuff like that. What do you like and not like to see for photos? So if you were to say, hey, photographer, do more of this and less of this, is there any suggestions you would have as an artist?
Oh, God. I guess from my standpoint, I'm trying to think of the photos I don't like. I mean, I definitely make some stupid drummer faces. I'm like, oh, shit, like, that just looks bad. You know, something like this, get, like, double chin. Like, I just make some stupid-ass weird face. Other than that, I mean, like, you know what? I think a lot of photographers really do capture the moment, you know? Obviously, I do a lot of hair flipping, and I'm smiling, and I mean, I think a lot, the majority of the photographers really do capture that moment. There's definitely some ugly photos. I'm like, shit, man. But, you know, everyone's going to have them, you know what I mean? You can't always look good, you know? But I'd say for photographers, just obviously, you guys know what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, you capture that moment, you know? Right. And from what I've heard from photographers, you take 1,000 to get that one.
Right.
And I get people, so many people ranting about the picture you got when I'm holding my sticks. That holy shit, dude. Like, that picture just,
awesome.
It just captured, I think, so much. And I, the edits and all that stuff you did, I'm not lying to you either. I get so many compliments still on that one picture alone. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad I got it. You know, as a photographer, trying to shoot a drummer is a challenge because the drummer's usually far away, poorly lit and surrounded by cymbals that catch the autofocus on a camera. So drummers are a challenge.
Yes.
The benefit that you have as a drummer, that you are as a drummer, is your movements are very, you know, out there and very energetic, and it really brings a lot to the photo. So being able, I mean, I could take a photo of a drummer all day long and they're usually just sitting there looking around playing a beat, whereas you are alive and electric. And it just makes the photo pop out. It makes my job so much easier. So
I appreciate that. Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. No, thank you for that. I appreciate
it. Awesome. Well, very cool. I was very honored to get that shot. I thought it was a great shot. I mean, the whole show was great. I think I got a lot of awesome shots from all the bands, but
you really did.
It was a lucky show.
It's like, goddamn, like, he really captured that moment. I remember I sent it to my parents. They're like, holy shit. I'm like, yeah, like, this guy knows what the fuck is up.
Well, thank you.
Sorry, I don't know if I can swear on your show. I usually say the F word.
Go ahead. No big deal.
Yeah, no, even some of my music mentors, they were just, I'm like, yeah. So thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yes.
So moving forward, you guys are on tour. With the Trinity of Terror, is that what it's called?
Yep.
Okay.
Trinity of Terror.
Yep. And then you go from that to the Hailstorm. Who else is with the Hailstorm?
The Pretty Reckless and this. It's a new band. I haven't heard of them before. It looks like a trio, but they're all sisters.
And yeah.
It sounded badass. Yeah.
You guys are getting some really perfect touring. I mean, you guys are getting perfect bookings. That's awesome.
I'm stoked. Yeah. And then in May, we have a couple like fly dates, I think at the end of May for some festivals. And it's just like, she's picking up, you know, steam. And I'm super stoked to be part of it. And it's going to be a fun year. Definitely. I mean, it's already off to a great start. So,
have you guys done any international stuff yet?
Not yet. Because we did that tour 2019 now? And then COVID just really squashed, I mean, with anyone, a lot of things. So I know at some point we will. It's just really hard, especially what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. Yeah. I know a lot of tours and bands are just kind of, what's going on with Europe? Are we going? Are we not? You know what I mean? So
Yep, I totally get it. Yep.
Yeah.
Do you have any crazy moments that you can share? Anything that was like, holy, what the fuck was that about? Or anything like that that you can share?
Oh, God. Yeah, are you talking about like between the last few shows probably one of the most embarrassing ones I remember. Oh, my God. It was a Worcester, Mass. I think it was one of the shows. I think within the first 30 seconds, I probably lost like 3-6. I don't know what the hell happened playing, and just bleep, 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 like just flew out of my hands. I was like mortified. I'm like, this is our first song, and it's just bye. I don't even know where they went. I was mortified. I think the boys were looking back at me. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what the hell just happened. So sorry. So stuff like that, getting locked out of our bus once. We had a our bass player like went through the driver's side window, like almost break it in. Shoving him in because the window is tiny, so yep. He's the smallest one, so it's like you're going in and unlocking that damn door for us. Oh God, what else? I'm trying to think. There is a lot. Oh God, I know what.
I'm sure
there's, you can remind me. Yeah, remind me. Cause I know there's so much of just like stupid little things that just happen.
All those spiral cap moments.
Oh yeah, God, yeah. You know, having rehearsal rooms out the other day, for example, or not a rehearsal room, I'm sorry, like our dressing room, they didn't have enough rooms for all the bands, so our dressing room was like the fucking storage closet of this fucking venue, which is just full of all this. You looked like you were at like a Home Depot or something, and here we are with our shit. It's like what the shit like that. I don't know,
I imagine having some experience playing some venues that were pretty, you know, I was like, holy shit, this place is a dump. I mean, I imagine you see everything. We played a venue before COVID, like 2019 or 2018, whatever it was. We played a venue that was a really nice venue. I thought it was a really cool place to play. And backstage, the green room was soaking wet. Everything was covered in mud. It was like, what the hell is going on here?
That's gross. Yeah. It's,
I'm sure you see all kinds of stuff.
I've seen all sorts of weird stuff. One of the weirdest gigs I think I ever had, you just reminded me. It was, you know, one of my, I think my first band I was ever in California. And we did this tour, right? Somewhere in San Francisco. It was a rock and roll laundry. I'm like, oh, cool. Okay. Not really thinking it'd be an actual laundromat. I shit you not, dude. We're playing at this stupid fucking venue. Not a venue. Literally a laundromat. There was, I don't know who booked it. And I'm literally playing drums next to a goddamn washer on my left, and the dryer on the right. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? You know, people are literally sipping coffee and trying to do their stuff. And we're just rocking. Like, who booked this? They have a whole PA and everything in there. I'm like, why are we here? Like, this is a, like that was, yeah, just like stupid stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, you never, and like you look back, I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I played it. That was one of the stupidest, dumbest places I've ever played, but whatever. You know what I mean?
You go from a laundry room to a massive arena. That's quite the achievement.
I'll take it. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Making strides. You know what I think I'm doing? Okay. Yeah. That was weird. Yeah. Yep. I don't ever thought of that. Whatever. Yeah. But yeah, that was a, yeah.
We've done very similar situations. It's bizarre, but yeah, whatever. So
exactly, rock and roll, baby.
Yeah, just roll with it.
Yeah, exactly, 100%.
Let me ask you a few more questions here. In regards to your hobbies, I know you mentioned a lot about drums and stuff like that. Is there anything that you do to get away from music? Is there any hobbies or anything like that that is sort of your to cleanse your palate of music or anything like that? Or
yeah, when I'm not on the road and stuff, I'm really big into fitness. Constantly in the gym. I live in Huntington Beach, California, so constantly out the water, in the beach, just anything with the beach, just that is like my zen zone. I also bartend, so when I'm not drumming, I got into bartending, and that is definitely a new passion. I like alcohol, I'm not gonna lie, I like to have a good time. I mean, I'm not as crazy as what I was, I definitely mellowed out. But I got into bartending, and I was telling a couple of my buddies, it's almost similar in the way the music, because I'm like, you know what? I'm with people. I love people. I still get to work with them, engage with them, and I still get to create an experience for them. Even though I'm not playing drums, I can still create you know, hey, you're having a rough day. Let's make you a fun drink. What do you like? All right, cool. I can still be creative. I can provide a great time for them. And I got into that. It's almost like a new passion. I'm not going to give up drums, but it's another way. I'm like, you know what? I just need a break from drums. I'm going to make a couple drinks on the beach, you know, gym, hang out with my buddies. I mean, I'm pretty mellow with that kind of stuff. It's really it. I like to live pretty simple and chill. Beach, booze, and friends, and gym. Nice. I'm a happy camper, you know? Yeah. So
nice. Get a little bar behind your drum kit over there. So in between.
Oh, we should, you know, but I mean, I like tequila, so that can go from 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah, yeah. You probably have to wait till after the show for that.
Yeah, I did make one when I was younger. I played some dive bar, probably 22, I think. And I'm like, fuck it. You know, dive bar, you know, everyone's buying me shots. I'm like, I got this. And I remember I was a... one of the last songs of the night, I decided to do like 2 Jaeger's shots. We started playing Iron Man and I don't remember finishing it. And that was the last time I decided to ever get drunk before I played the show. Yeah. I'm like, that, they don't give a shit. Cause you know, it's a dive bar. It's fun. But I'm like, that was, I don't remember finishing the song, you know, and I don't know what happened. It probably fell apart and that was that. But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I've been there.
Keep them separate. Yeah. You know, it's just like, yeah.
That's pretty standard for rock and roll. I've been there.
Yeah. I just, and especially at this rate, and I'm still trying to grow my career and stuff. And it's not like what it was in the 80s. I'm like, I can't get stupid with that before. You know what I mean? If I want to have a couple drinks after, awesome. Before.
Yep.
You can't do
You're it. At a pro level now where you have a reputation to make sure, you know, you're delivering pro level performances and all that stuff now. Yeah, totally.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let me ask you a last question here. Do you have any plans that you haven't talked about yet for music at all? I mean, I know you're pretty full with this, but do you have anything down the pike that you can talk about? Any other project musically or anything like that? Or are you just focused on this right now?
I'm honestly really just focused on this. You know, when I'm back in California, like I'm always like playing, you know, I got a couple like bands I work with there, you know, bars, whatever. And I love it. Right now, Lil Czar is pretty much the main artist I'm working for. And the schedule's, I'll say it's pretty full. It's still, there's, I think, other things that haven't been announced yet. But she's definitely picking up, so she keeps me pretty busy. And again, just local projects at home, and it's kind of it for now. I haven't really thought of like what else this year could happen. I mean, one of my biggest goals and dreams is what I want to do is I love like electronic music. Like I love that stuff. My dream is to work at some point, you know, even as a passion project or anything, work and play along with the DJ.
Oh, cool.
I just think it's the sickest thing. If you get real drums over here and the DJ over here and just the beats and just the collaboration, I did it once and had the time of my life. It is just because the music's already energetic and fun and all that. And then you get to play real drums on top of that. Holy crap. So that's something I want to try to do more this year is get more involved with electronic music. But other than that, she's pretty much the main focus.
Yeah. You've got a pretty good future coming with what you got currently got booked. So I totally get that. But when it comes to your electronic drum and stuff, do you play an electric kit at all? I see some really creative electric kit loop sort of things being done for drummers now. Have you tried anything like that or anything?
I have the gear. Like I have some triggers. I have like a Roland SVDS.
Yep.
I have some of those toys, and I think the next run, I want to incorporate more of them into my set now. Right now I have it pretty, I don't say easy, but it's pretty much just an acoustic set, but I definitely would love to add more triggers in that sort of element to her mix. Definitely think it would add to the show. And I love that stuff anyway. So I'm like, why not? You know, like I love doing it by myself. So if I can add it to this mix, why not?
Yeah. Some people don't like it, but we in our band, we use the Roland SPDS for our click track stuff, for our keyboards and stuff like that. And we've done some really cool, like spontaneous jams with that where you just have a loop playing. We just kind of go off on it. And it's really kind of cool what you can kind of come up with.
It really is. Sometimes I just have it on loop and I literally will jam the hell out 20, 30 minutes. I don't know. I just go. And it's so much fun. Oh, it's a freaking blast. Yeah. Really, really is. But
yeah. Well, I want to say thank you so much for taking your time. I know I've been a little bit of a pain hounding you down to do this show, but I want to say thank
you. You're not at all. No, I'm very glad we did this. I'm really, really glad. I know I've been all over the place, like, which is, I apologize. I know I've been fucking all over the place, but I'm so glad we did that. I'm really glad we did this and we could connect. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Where do people go to find more about you, your socials, your web, all that stuff?
And Drummer Lens. All one word, all lowercase. YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat. Or just type in Lindsay Martin Drummer in Google. And I heard you can find ways through that. Honestly, everyone's got Facebook. It's just Drummer Lens. It's pretty simple. Twitter, you know, all that fun stuff. So.
Yep. Cool. But. Hey, thanks for watching this episode with Lindsay Martin. We hope you enjoyed it. You can check out our other episodes and our other guests on all your favorite podcast locations on talesfromthepit.net. And until then, we'll see you next time.